1. You, at the end. You are she. She is you. You are Esun, remember? The woman whose son is dead? You're an Orogene, who's been living in the little nothing town of Terimo for 10 years. Only 3 people here know what you are, and 2 of them you gave birth to. Well, 1 left who knows now. For the past 10 years, you've lived as ordinary a life as possible. You came to Terimo from elsewhere. The townsfolk don't really care where or why. Since you were obviously well-educated, you became a teacher at the local creche for children aged 10 to 13. You're neither the best teacher nor the worst. The children forget you when they move on, but they learn. The butcher probably knows your name because she likes to flirt with you. The baker doesn't because you're quiet, and because, like everyone else in town, he just thinks of you as Gija's wife. Gija's a Terimo man born and bred, a stone napper of the resistant use caste. Everyone knows and likes him, so they like you, peripherally. He's the foreground of the painting that is your life together. You're the background. You like it that way. You're the mother of 2 children, but now one of them is dead and the other is missing. Maybe she's dead too. You discover all of this when you come home from work one day. House empty, too quiet. Tiny little boy all bloodied and bruised on the den floor. And you shut down. You don't mean to. It's just a bit much, isn't it? Too much. You've been through a lot. You're very strong. But there are limits to what even you can bear. 2 days pass before anyone comes for you. You've spent them in the house with your dead son. You've risen, used the toilet, eaten something from the cold vault, drunk the last trickle of water from the tap. These things you could do without thinking by rote. Afterward, you returned to Uche's side. You fetched him a blanket during one of these trips, covered him up to his ruined chin habit. The steam pipes have stopped rattling. It's cold in the house. You could catch something. Late the next day, someone knocks at the house's front door. You do not stir yourself to answer it. That would require you to wonder who is there and whether you should let them in. Thinking of these things would make you consider your son's corpse under the blanket. And why would you want to do that? You ignore the door knock. Someone bangs at the window in the front room. Persistent. You ignore this, too. Finally, someone breaks the glass on the house's back door. You hear footsteps in the hallway between Uche's room and that of Nasun, your daughter. Nasun, your daughter. The footsteps reach the den and stop. Esun? You know this voice, young, male, familiar and soothing in a familiar way. Lerna, Makenba's boy from down the road, who went away for a few years and came back a doctor. He's not a boy anymore, hasn't been for a while. So you remind yourself again to start thinking of him as a man. Oops, thinking. Carefully, you stop. He inhales, and your skin reverberates with his horror when he draws near enough to see Uche. Remarkably, he does not cry out, nor does he touch you, though he moves to Uche's other side and peers at you intently, trying to see what's going on inside you. Nothing, nothing. He then peels back the blanket for a good look at Uche's body. Nothing, nothing. He pulls the blanket up again, this time over your son's face. He doesn't like that, you say. It's your first time speaking in 2 days, feels strange. He's afraid of the dark. After a moment's silence, Lerna pulls the sheet back down to just below Uche's eyes. Thank you, you say. Lerna nods. Have you slept? No, Solerna comes around the body and takes your arm, drawing you up. He's gentle, but his hands are firm and he does not give up when at first you don't move. Just exerts more pressure, inexorably, until you have to rise or fall over. He leaves you that much choice. You rise. Then, with the same gentle firmness, he guides you toward the front door. "You can rest at my place," he says. You don't want to think, so you do not protest that you have your own perfectly good bed, thank you. Nor do you declare that you're fine and don't need his help, which isn't true. He walks you outside and down the block, keeping a grip on your elbow the whole time. A few others are gathered on the street outside. Some of them come near the two of you, saying things to which Lerna replies. You don't really hear any of it. Their voices are blurring noise that your mind doesn't bother to interpret. Lerna speaks to them in your stead, for which you would be grateful if you could bring yourself to care. He gets you to his house, which smells of herbs and chemicals and books, and he tucks you into a long bed that has a fat gray cat on it. The cat moves out of the way enough to allow you to lie down, then tucks itself against your side once you're still. You would take comfort from this if the warmth and weight did not remind you a little of Uche when he naps with you. Napped with you. No, changing tense requires thought. Naps. Sleep, Lerna says, and it is easy to comply. You sleep a long time. At one point you wake. Lerna has put food on a tray beside the bed. Clear broth and sliced fruit and a cup of tea, all long gone to room temperature. You eat and drink, then go into the bathroom. The toilet does not flush. There's a bucket beside it full of water, which Lerna must have put there for this purpose. You puzzle over this, then feel the imminence of thought, and have to fight to stay in the soft, warm silence of thoughtlessness. You pour some water down the toilet, put the lid back down, and go back to bed. In the dream, you're in the room while Jija does it. He and Uche are as you saw them last, Jija laughing, holding Uche on one knee and playing Earthshake, while the boy giggles and clamps down with his thighs and waggles his arms for balance. Then Jija suddenly stops laughing, stands up, throwing Uche to the floor, and begins kicking him. You know this is not how it happened. You've seen the imprint of Jija's fist, a bruise with four parallel marks on Uche's belly and face. In the dream, Jija kicks, because dreams are not logical. Uche keeps laughing and waggling his arms like it's still a game, even as blood covers his face. You wake screaming, which subsides into sobs that you cannot stop. Lerna comes in, tries to say something, tries to hold you, and finally makes you drink a strong, foul-tasting tea. You sleep again. Something happened up north, Lerna tells you. You sit on the edge of the bed. He's in a chair across from you. You're drinking more nasty tea. Your head hurts worse than a hangover. It's nighttime, but the room is dim. Lerna has lit only half the lanterns. For the first time, you notice the strange smell in the air, not quite disguised by the lantern smoke. Sulfur. Sharp and acrid. The smell has been there all day, growing gradually worse. It's strongest when Lerna's been outside. The road outside town has been clogged for 2 days with people coming from that direction. Lerna sighs and rubs his face. He's 15 years younger than you, but he no longer looks it. He has natural gray hair like many Sibaki. But it's the new lines in his face that make him seem older. Those, and the new shadows in his eyes. There's been some kind of shake, a big one a couple of days ago. We felt nothing here, but in Sume. Sume's in the next valley over, a day's ride on horseback. The whole town is, he shakes his head. You nod, But you know all this without being told, or at least you can guess. 2 days ago, as you sat in your den, staring at the ruin of your child, something came toward the town. A convulsion of the earth so powerful you have never assessed its like. The word shake is inadequate. Whatever it was would have collapsed the house on Uche, so you put something in its way. A breakwater of sorts, composed of your focused will and a bit of kinetic energy borrowed from the thing itself. Doing this required no thought. A newborn could do it, although perhaps not so neatly. The shake split and flowed around the valley, then moved on. Lerna licks his lips, looks up at you, then away. He's the other one besides your children who knows what you are. He's known for a while, but this is the first time he's been confronted by the actuality of it. You can't really think about that either. Rask isn't letting anyone leave or come in. Rask is Rask Innovator Terimo, the town's elected headman. It's not a full-on lockdown, he says, not yet. But I was going to head over to Sume, see if I could help. Rask said no, and then he set the damn miners on the wall to supplement the strong backs while we send out scouts. Told them specifically to keep me within the gates. Lerna clenches his fists, his expression bitter. There are people out there on the Imperial Road. A lot of them are sick, injured, and that rusty bastard won't let me help. First, guard the gates, you whisper. It is a rasp. You screamed a lot after that dream of Jija. What? You sip more tea to soothe the soreness. Stone lore. Lerna stares at you. He knows the same passages. All children learn them in creche. Everyone grows up on campfire tales of wise lorists and clever geomasts, warning skeptics when the signs begin to show not being heeded and saving people when the lore proves true. You think it's come to that, then? He says heavily. Fire under earth, Essun? You can't be serious. You are serious. It has come to that, but you know he will not believe you if you try to explain, so you just shake your head. A painful, stagnating silence falls. After a long moment, delicately, Lerna says, I brought Uche back here. He's in the infirmary, in the cold case. I'll see to arrangements. You nod slowly. He hesitates. Was it Jija? You nod again. You saw him? Came home from creche. Oh. Another awkward pause. People said you'd missed a day. Before the shake, they had to send the children home, couldn't find a substitute. No one knew if you were homesick or what. Yes, well, you've probably been fired. Lerna takes a deep breath, lets it out. With that as forewarning, you're almost ready.
The shake didn't hit us, Essun. It passed around the town, shivered over a few trees and crumbled a rock face up by the creek.
The creek is at the northernmost end of the valley, where no one has noticed a big chalcedony geode steaming.
Everything in and around town is fine, though. In almost a perfect circle. Fine.
There was a time when you would have dissembled. You had reasons to hide then, a life to protect. I did it, you say.
Lerna's jaw flexes, but he nods. I never told anyone.
He hesitates.
That you were, orogenic.
He's so polite and proper. You've heard all the uglier terms for what you are. He has too, but he would never say them. Neither would Jija, whenever someone tossed off a careless raga around him. I don't want the children to hear that kind of language, he always said. It hits fast. You abruptly lean over and dry heave.
Lerna starts, jumping to grab something nearby, a bedpan, which you haven't needed. But nothing comes out of your stomach, and after a moment, the heaves stop. You take a cautious breath, then another. Wordlessly, Lerna offers a glass of water. You start to wave it away, then change your mind and take it. Your mouth tastes of bile. "It wasn't me," you say at last. He frowns in confusion, and you realize he thinks you're still talking about the Shake. "Jija. He didn't find out about me." You think. You shouldn't think. "I don't know how, what, but Uche, he's little, doesn't have much control yet. Uche must have done something, and Jija realized that your children are like you. It is the first time you've framed this thought completely." Lerna closes his eyes, letting out a long breath. "That's it, then." "That's not it. That should never have been enough to provoke a father to murder his own child. Nothing should have done that." He licks his lips. "Do you want to see Uche?" "What for? You looked at him for 2 days. No." With a sigh, Lerna gets to his feet, still rubbing a hand over his hair. "Going to tell Rask?" you ask. But the look Lerna turns on you makes you feel boorish. He's angry. He's such a calm, thoughtful boy, you didn't think he could get angry. "I'm not going to tell Rask anything," he snaps. "I haven't said anything in all this time, and I'm not going to." "Then what?" "I'm going to find Aaron." Aaron is the spokeswoman for the Resistant Usecast. Lerna was born a strongback, but when he came to Terimo after becoming a doctor, the Resistance adopted him. The town had enough strongbacks already, and the innovators lost the shard toss. Also, you've claimed to be a Resistant. "I'll let her know you're all right. Have her pass that on to Rask. You are going to rest." When she asks you why, Jija, Lerna shakes his head. "Everyone's guessed already, Isun. They can read maps. It's clear as diamond that the center of the circle was this neighborhood. Knowing what Jija did, it hasn't been hard for anyone to jump to conclusions as to why. The timing's all wrong, but nobody's thinking that far." While you stare at him, slowly understanding, Lerna's lip curls. Half of them are appalled, but the rest are glad Jija did it. Because of course, a 3-year-old has the power to start shakes 1,000 miles away in Humanus. You shake your head, half startled by Lerna's anger and half unable to reconcile your bright, giggly boy with people who think he would, that he could. But then, Jija thought it. You feel queasy again. Lerna takes another deep breath. He's been doing this throughout your conversation. It's a habit of his that you've seen before, his way of calming himself. "Stay here and rest. I'll be back soon." He leaves the room. You hear him doing purposeful sounding things at the front of the house. After a few moments, he leaves to go to his meeting. You contemplate rest and decide against it. Instead, you rise and go into Lerna's bathroom, where you wash your face and then stop when the hot water coming through the tap spits and abruptly turns brown, red, and smelly, then slows to a trickle. Broken pipe somewhere. "Something happened up north," Lerna said. "Children are the undoing of us," someone said to you once long ago. "Nasun," you whisper to your reflection. In the mirror are the eyes your daughter has inherited from you, gray as slate and a little wistful. "He left Uche in the den. Where did he put you?" No answer. You shut off the tap. Then you whisper to no one in particular, "I have to go now." Because you do. You need to find Jija, and anyway, you know better than to linger. The townsfolk will be coming for you soon. The shake that passes will echo. The wave that recedes will come back. The mountain that rumbles will roar. From Tablet 1, On Survival, Verse 5.